Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Addiction Unlimited podcast, where you get to learn everything you want to know about addiction and recovery. I'm your host, Angela Pugh, co-founder of Kansas City Recovery, life coach, and recovering alcoholic. To learn more about me, you can listen to episode zero on your podcast app or find us on the web at addictionunlimited.com. Hello, my friends. Welcome to episode number 142 of the Addiction Unlimited podcast. I'm your coach, Angela Pugh. Happy holiday week, my friends. I'll tell you, there's a lot going on. And just like we've been talking about the last couple of episodes, stress and anxiety are at an all-time high. I have felt a little crazy the last couple of weeks, too. I feel extra tired. It's been difficult to focus and get things done. I have definitely fallen into the lazy and procrastination traps. And one of the things I recognize in myself is I tend to fall apart when I feel super overwhelmed. When I have a lot of things to get done, for me, it's imperative that I make a little list each day where I set like the one or two things that I absolutely have to get done that day. Actually, I think I usually do three. I usually do three things. The problem is I'm not great at making that simple list every day. I go through phases where I'm really good at it, and then I start to falter. Like we always talk about as human beings, we do good for a while and we start to falter. What happens for me is my head starts swirling with all the 100 things I need to get done, and I get totally overwhelmed and I fall apart. The list is important because it gives me focus. I don't have to think about all 100 things. I just need to focus on those couple of things for now. Then when those are done, I pick a couple more things. But I have not been doing a great job at all. And this is the perfect conversation for a little sneak peek I want to give you. I've got two things that I want to announce. One, we're going to talk about right now, and it's kind of far in advance, but I want you to be thinking about it. And the other thing I'm going to announce a little bit later in the episode. But I want you to start thinking about the upcoming year and what you want to focus on. And I want you to pick one word that's going to be your focus for improvement. In January, I'm going to do a webinar to set New Year intentions. I know most people say resolutions, I say intentions, because for me, I have this really great process that's very simple, and it just sets my intentions for the year, right? These are the things I intentionally will focus on for this upcoming year. And I will announce more about that later so you can start signing up. But I want you to have some awareness of what you want to work on for 2021 before you show up for the webinar, because the more clear you are on what you want to achieve, the more apt you are to follow through and achieve it. So what is your word for 2021? I want you to have a few weeks to think about this and think about where you're not the strongest and where you want to get better, right? And think about that word. My word is going to be execution, because I've caught myself not following through and completing things. And for me, this shows up more in my personal and home life, because those are always the things that get neglected, right? Not work. I love work. I'm pretty good at that. But my home life can get messy quick because I'll start things and not finish them. Or I catch myself saying, oh, I'll do that later. And all of a sudden it's 2 weeks or 3 weeks and the thing still isn't done. The stack of mail continues to pile up because I haven't taken time to go through it. Boxes start piling up because I get everything delivered now and I have to break down all those boxes to put them out for my trash valet. Or I forget to put the garbage out on time for pickup. I pay bills late because I say I'll do it later and then forget because I have 8,000 other things to do. You know, things will start to pile up in my car because I'll put off taking the stuff out of the car and putting it wherever it needs to go. It's a constant, I'll do it later, I'll do that tomorrow, I need to remember to do that this weekend. And you've heard me talk about this before. The state of my life is evident in the details, right? When the house starts getting a little messy, the car gets a little messy, things are slipping here and there, and that leaves me in a place I don't feel good about because everywhere I look is something unfinished. That's why my word for 2021 is execution. No more putting things off and not following through, even if that means I have to ask for help or hire some help with my house or whatever. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like yet, but I know I can utilize 10 minutes a day to handle some of those simple tasks. I want to execute, not lag or postpone because I have more important things to do, but finish tasks that need to be finished. So when I'm in my life, I see things completed instead of seeing everything half done or not done at all. That doesn't make me feel good. And I do this stuff with work also. I handle a lot, but I lag on a lot of things too. And I'm just finished with that. It's time to execute and finish. So before you come to the webinar to set your intentions with me, think about your word for 2021. And this leads perfectly into our conversation today about cognitive dissonance. You've heard me talk about this in a few other episodes about thinking and thinking errors, and this is one of the biggest traps we fall into. You wonder why you can't accomplish something or why it always feels like one step forward, two steps back, and it may be because you're sending yourself mixed messages. And let me start this by giving you a definition of dissonance. I know it's kind of a weird word and it's not one that you hear all the time. Dissonance is lack of agreement, inconsistency between beliefs and actions. Now, let me give you an example. I had a client many years ago who decided they wanted to open a savings account and start actively saving money from each paycheck. It's something they'd wanted to do for a long time. They knew they were spending more than they needed to, and some of that money could easily be saved, and they were ready to take action. So the homework after that session was research savings accounts and open one. Super simple. The next session, they came in all excited, sharing with me the amazing trip to Mexico they just booked. And after I got all the details about this incredible trip that was coming up, I asked about the savings account. What bank did you decide on and why did you choose that bank? Did you do it all online or did you have to go in somewhere? Was it easy? Did you get a debit card with your savings account? And they hadn't done anything with the savings account. This is dissonance. When you say one thing and do another. Or you make a decision in your head, but your actions don't support that decision. You're sending yourself mixed messages. And we're terrible, by the way, at sending others mixed messages too, without even realizing it. I'll give you another quick story. This is a client probably 7 or 8 years ago decided she was going to end her relationship. Not a super serious relationship, more casual, but also a little unhealthy, and she was ready to move on. In one breath, she tells him, leave her alone, give her space. And in the very next moment, she got angry with him for not walking her out. I said, well, you just told him to leave you alone. You just broke up with him and asked him to honor your decision and give you space. All he was doing was exactly what you just told him to do. How's he in trouble for doing what you told him to do? Mixed messages. When you say you're okay, but all your behavior and attitude clearly show you're not okay. Mixed messages. When you say you aren't drinking anymore, then you go to the party or meet the drinking friends at the bar because you don't want to be different. Well, stopping drinking is different. So do you want to be different or do you want to be drunk? Quitting drinking is different, so you're going to have to be different to support your decision. You're going to have to do things differently. When you say you aren't drinking anymore, then go with the drinking friends to the drinking places, you're sending yourself mixed messages. This is what makes you feel like you're losing your mind. You can't figure out why you can't stop, and oftentimes it's because your words and your actions don't match. And this dissonance causes major stress and anxiety because you're pulling yourself two different directions. And it's hard to figure out where to go and what to do and what's the right thing. It's dissonance. It causes anxiety. It's horrible. This is why I say, too, it's so important to actually make the decision and be committed to your decision. Because you've heard me say this 1,000 times. When I decided I wasn't drinking anymore, I was no longer having to make that decision 200 times a day. The decision was made. I wasn't drinking. So then all my energy and focus went into what am I going to do to not drink? Instead of constantly, all day long, having that dissonance, should I, shouldn't I? Am I not? Is it right? Is it wrong? Can I have one more? Can I not? Can I start sobriety again tomorrow? Can I not? Constant dissonance will make you feel crazy. It creates confusion because you're trying to do two opposite things. It creates confusion for your brain because your brain doesn't know which thing it's supposed to support you in. And everything is a mess because your messages are all over the place. Like the client who wants to start a savings account and instead books a trip to Mexico. Not only not saving, but spending. And I don't have anything against Mexico. I love Mexico. I spent half my 20s there. The problem is if you say you want to open a savings account, that's the priority first before the trip to Mexico. If it were me, I would require myself to follow through on my commitment first, open the savings account, put some money in it, then book the trip to Mexico if I deemed it necessary. Something else I do to ensure I'm making better choices and not making choices for the wrong reasons is I sit on something and think about it for 2 weeks. Anything big. A big change, a big expense, a big investment. I sit on it for 2 weeks. Because in 2 weeks, I'm going to get to think about it from every angle. And I will go through the full range of emotions around it. And at the end of that 2 weeks, I'll know for sure if it's the right thing or if I was being impulsive or if I wanted to buy that thing just for the instant gratification. Because it's exciting, certainly in buying things. Like, we get a little rush from that. It's exciting to get new stuff. But I don't want to make big decisions, certainly expensive things. I don't want to make big decisions based on that rush, you know, because it feels good. That's the instant gratification. I want to really think it through. And think about, is it the best thing? Do I need it? How would I use it? How would it benefit me? Is this a long-term choice? I just want to think about it and see how important it really is. Let's do more dissonance. I say I'm going to drink more water, and the next thing I do is get a soda. And when I say the next thing, like, I don't mean 1 minute to the next minute, but literally, like, and I catch myself doing this stuff all the time. Like, I'll leave the gym and have my bottle of water and I'll stop to get something to eat and I'll get a soda. And it's like, what am I doing? Like, I've cut down on soda. I've almost completely cut it out of my life. But yeah, it's just funny, those little things. All right, how about another one? You say you have to learn to cope with anxiety better. But when your anxiety goes up, you don't do anything to combat it. You sit and obsess about it instead of finding solutions. Or you want to start working on your exercise and taking short walks. But what you do is go home and sit on the couch and watch TV. Are you with me here? I want you to start watching this in yourself and noticing how many mixed messages you send. I'll tell you what I'm really bad about is I'll go to the gym and work my buns off, then an hour later, eat a cheeseburger. Like, OMG. It's something I want to be really clear about too. Like everything we talk about, it takes practice. It isn't about getting it right 100% of the time. I used to get really caught up in this idea. I would listen to my favorite entrepreneurs and podcasters, and they talk about their routines and things they do to build themselves and their businesses. And I would make it this thing in my head that is unrealistic, like they're doing it all perfectly every single day. And if I'm not doing it exactly right every single day, then I'm a loser. You know, one of my favorite podcast guys said he did his own editing of every episode for 6 years. So in my head, I was like, well, if I don't do my own for 6 years, then I'm not as good as him. Or some people, and this gets really crazy with high achiever people too. We do some crazy stuff to optimize our time, ourselves, and our health. But I would hear these people say, like, I get up at 4:30 every day and I meditate for an hour and I run 20 miles. And it's like I would use those things to minimize myself and tell myself, this is why I'm not as good as those people. I don't want you to feel that. What I've learned is even those people miss a day or take a day off. And every once in a while, they sleep in and eat a piece of cake. You know, please don't build this up in your head as an all or nothing situation. That's another thinking error we've talked about, all or nothing thinking. The only thing I do right 100% of the time is not drink. I mean, so far, God willing, knock wood. All the other things I work on, food, sugar, laziness, exercise, it has taken me years of practice to get better at it. And that in no way means I'm on point 100% of the time. What it means is I am consistently trying to improve. It means I don't just let myself off the hook when I don't feel like it. Instead, I push myself to do better because I want to be better. Sometimes I'm going to say F it and eat the ice cream. But when I do that, it's going to be a conscious choice, not an impulse, not instant gratification because I'm trying to distract myself from a feeling. Right? It's going to be a conscious choice that I make that I want the damn ice cream, so I'm going to sit down and have it. I tell you about my struggles and missteps because I want you to understand that this is not about being perfect, and you aren't less than anyone if you have a day that you aren't on top of your game. I had a day the other day that was really hard. I was so grumpy. There's a lot going on. I'm super overwhelmed. And there's always freaking technology issues, okay? So I got up one day. I got a letter from a customer who was disappointed in their journal and wanted a refund. Then my customer service email all of a sudden started going crazy and all these emails started coming through at one time. Apparently, my email hadn't been updating for an entire week, and I had no idea. I checked my email all day long, and there was no way for me to know it wasn't updating. And before that, I got a new phone, and my voicemail didn't automatically set up, so I had just gone through a similar situation with my voicemail. It's so freaking frustrating. So needless to say, that day, my mood was not good. I went to the gym for my class and I just didn't want to do it. I didn't feel like it. My energy was low. My stress was high. I'm trying to work out and my head just wasn't in it and I wanted to walk out. The committee tried to talk me into quitting. a couple of times, about 15 minutes in and again at 30 minutes in. And I'm so grateful I didn't. And you know, when you work out all the time, some days you just aren't as good at it as other days. Because my head was so jumbled, I wasn't working out well. My balance was off. I kept falling. I was tired. I was so irritable. It was bad. And it was really hard to not quit. Then I remembered the deal I made with myself a year ago when I got really serious about my commitment to exercise and being a healthier person. When I first started, the deal was if I start a class, I finish the class. There's no quitting early. Because that's what I always did before. I would always let the committee talk me into quitting, and I was always the person that walked out in the middle. I chose to do fitness classes because I didn't want to have to think about what workout I was going to do that day and how much to do and how long and all that. For me, if I have to think about something too much, I won't follow through because I just get overwhelmed and irritated. So classes are perfect for me because all I have to do is show up and do as I'm told, right? The warm up and cool down and stretching is already built in and I don't have to think about anything. I knew that would be a key part of making real change. I had to finish every class I started. The other part of the deal was I could stop and rest as much as I needed to. I understood that I wouldn't be able to do everything because I was really out of shape and I was used to giving up and quitting. I knew I wasn't as strong as I used to be. I knew I would have limitations. So I was committed to finishing, and I was also committed to caring for myself and stopping when I needed to instead of injuring myself trying to do things that I wasn't prepared to do. And I promise you, in the beginning, I was stopping all the time. I would be the only person in the class laying on my mat like I was about to die, you know? But I didn't leave. I didn't quit. And when I was ready, I got right back up and got back to work. I can't tell you how valuable that was for my self-esteem, because prior to that, I had always been a quitter. And I could trace that back like literally over the course of my entire life, starting things and quitting, start and quit, start and quit. Instead of falling into that dissonance of, I want to exercise and be a healthier person, but I'm going to quit and give up the moment it gets uncomfortable. Instead of doing that, I found a way to work around my limitations so I could follow through on my commitment. And that's what I had to think about the other day when I was so grumpy and irritated and stressed and all I wanted to do was quit. I won't do it exactly right all the time. Neither will you. Find the process that works for you and allows you to follow through on your commitment more often than not follow through. One of the greatest keys to my success in everything is recognizing my limitations so I can find ways to work around them. How many limitations did I just mention in that one story? Knowing I was out of shape, I wouldn't be able to do all the things in my class. Knowing I can't have to think about things too much because I'll get frustrated. Making things easy because I know I can be lazy. Recognizing my self-esteem can be fragile and I need to always be building it and protecting it. If I didn't have that awareness, then I would be creating dissonance because I'd be working against my own struggles. I don't want to create more friction and make difficult things even more difficult for myself. I want to recognize where I'm not as strong so I can work around it to make it easier. You see what I'm saying? When you say you don't want to drink anymore and you know it's challenging for you to hang out with all your drinking friends while they drink, then don't go do that. Make it easier for yourself and recognize that's a challenge and don't put yourself in that position. If you know that being with your family for the holiday is going to be difficult, then go back and listen to the episode where I give you step-by-step instructions on what to do to make it easier and follow through on doing those things. It doesn't do you any good to sit around and go, oh my gosh, this is going to be so hard. This is going to be so hard. This is going to be awful. My family doesn't understand. They don't even think I have a problem. How am I going to tell them I'm not drinking? And obsess about all that stuff and not do a single damn thing to make it easier. That doesn't make any sense. You end up in dissonance when you know it's going to be hard, but you don't do anything to make it easier. You try to just tell yourself you'll be okay, or whatever you tell yourself, I don't know. How exactly do you think that's going to work out? If you want to stay sober, then take actions and do things to protect your sobriety. Don't tell your partner you're fine when you really feel super anxious. Don't act like you don't need help and support when you feel like you're going to crumble. Recognize these different ways that you're working against yourself and sending yourself mixed messages. You know, you can't do things that cause you harm and have a healthy self-esteem. That's dissonance. If I am over-drinking, smoking cigarettes, participating in unhealthy relationships when I fully recognize they are unhealthy. These are things that I know are not good for me. How can I have a healthy self-esteem and love myself and want to take care of myself when I'm making consistent choices that are hurting me? You see how those things don't work together? With smoking and drinking, you may rationalize away the dissonance by telling yourself you need to do it to deal with your anxiety. I need to smoke to deal with my anxiety. But I would argue that's just how you've practiced dealing with anxiety. You are fully capable of dealing with anxiety in different ways. It just takes practice. Just like being addicted takes practice. I wasn't addicted to cigarettes after the first one. In fact, it wasn't even all that enjoyable. And I coughed and I felt a little sick to my stomach. I literally had to practice smoking cigarettes to get good at it. I was totally dedicated to that practice. So why wouldn't I be dedicated to practicing something that doesn't kill me? Think about the years of practicing drinking. There are many, many moments that are uncomfortable, humiliating, awful. Overdrinking, getting sick, embarrassing yourself with friends and family, starting fights, being irrational, sleeping with people you don't even like, having to apologize to everyone the day after. All of that is awful. But you keep drinking, despite the discomfort. So why can't we keep recovering, despite some discomfort? That's its own mixed messages. I want to stay sober until it's uncomfortable. And I would urge you to ask yourself, when you are being sober and it gets uncomfortable, what are you doing to handle the discomfort? Are you really putting genuine effort into battling the discomfort, building new ways of coping, getting comfortable being uncomfortable? Or are you just giving up and quitting? I hope this dissonance and mixed messages makes some sense to you. We've talked about a lot of things. I've given you a lot of things to think about. Don't forget, I also want you to be thinking about your word. What is going to be your word for 2021? We're going to do a webinar together live with me. It'll be totally free. I'll announce it later for you to start signing up, but I want you to be thinking about what is your word for 2021 going to be so you can get some clarity around that. And the second thing I want to tell you about, and it's a little bit early, but I want to give you plenty of time to get signed up. We've got a couple of weeks here. In January, we're going to do a 5-day Go Dry Challenge. In 5 days, we're going to build your sober blueprint so you can stop all this yo-yo sobriety stuff. 5 days, It's going to be amazing. You can sign up at www.myrecoverytoolbox.com/5-day, number 5-DAY, www.myrecoverytoolbox.com/5-day. I will link that in the show notes. And again, 5 days, sober blueprint. This is your blueprint that you can use over and over forever. Stay sober. Stop the yo-yo stuff, okay? We're going to get it together. So jump over there and sign up. And starting probably next week, we're going to start doing some emails, and I'll tell you what we're going to do and what to expect. I'm going to have a pop-up Facebook group just for the 5-day challenge. I'm going to go live in there every single day, and we're going to get it together, people. Okay, 5-day Go Dry Challenge, www.myrecoverytoolbox.com/5-day. And that link will be in the show notes. I hope you are having a fan-freaking-tastic holiday. Okay, I'm so super stoked. Tomorrow is Christmas Eve. I'm excited to see some of my family, although the gathering is much smaller. Thank you, coronavirus. And be thinking about your word for 2021. I love you guys. Have a fantastic holiday. I'll see you next week.
You've reached the end of another great episode of the Addiction Unlimited podcast. Candid and honest conversation about addiction and recovery. Be sure to visit us at addictionunlimited.com to join the conversation and access show notes and links to everything we talked about. Love this episode? Please take 30 seconds to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes to help us improve and give you the information you want. Thanks for listening. See you next week.